for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 673 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. From my last interview of 2024, I'm talking with excellent comics creator Riley Brown, who has a Zoop.gg project underway to fund his comic Thunder Guardian, which he makes with his young son Will Brown. Riley and I discuss how this series came to be and how, for the first time ever, Thunder Guardian is now available in a full 22-page comic via Zoop.gg. The series is described this way. The Earth has been destroyed. Civilization has been scattered throughout the solar system. The future of humanity has only one hope, Thunder Guardian. This is the story of Thunder Guardian and his friends in their battle against space pirates, monster boogers, and the forces of the evil unknown. We explore Riley's great career as a comics creator, as well as what else he's working on in the months ahead. The Zoop.gg crowdfunding project for this book will conclude in early January of 2025. So don't wait, be sure to back this high-octane project just as soon as you finish listening to this fun interview. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. The Earth has been destroyed. Civilization has been scattered throughout the solar system. The future of humanity has only one hope, Thunder Guardian. Join father-son team of Riley Brown from Deadpool, Batman, Fortnite, Zero Point, and Will Brown, who is a third grader, as they tell the story of Thunder Guardian and his friends and their battle against space pirates, monster boogers, and the forces of the evil unknown. And I want to welcome to the podcast Riley Brown. How you doing, Riley?
Hey, how you doing, Wayne? Thanks for having me.
It's good to talk with you. And of course, as we get started here, there's congratulations in order. You've already doubled your goal at Zoop.gg, which is, there are a lot of people who would like to be in that place. So congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. We've been doing pretty well, I think, considering it's my first time doing something on Zoop. But
Well, of course, that leads to the question. I do want to talk about when this is going to end, because Zoop depends on me doing math, which is never a good thing. They've got there's a certain number of days listed on the website. So by this post, by the time this posts, it'll be a different thing. And so I have to figure, it's going to be mid-January is the way I'm figuring it.
Yeah.
I have to do math. 14.
Well, we got a few more weeks left, so we'll figure it out.
It's going to be about middle of, I think it's the 13th or thereabouts, if my math is something, which happens to be my birthday, oddly enough.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, that's still a month away, so
okay.
Plenty of time for that. So let's see now. There's an interesting comment on here. It says in here, for fans of Deadpool who are looking for something equally humorous and action-packed, but maybe they can share with their kids in their life who have a more Dog Man sense of humor. Anybody knows Dog Man is like one of the best-selling kids era type books, similar to Axe Cop, but with superheroes. If you like aliens and space pirates, this book is for you. If you like monster boogers, this book is especially for you. I like that last line. That's kind of funny. So, okay, let's talk about your career first before we dive into this good thing.
Sure thing.
It talked about Deadpool and Batman, Fortnite, Zero Point. You've been doing this apparently for a couple of decades, right? Talk about your experience in comics.
Almost. Yeah, I started working for Marvel in 2005. So, yeah, it's been 19 years now, coming up on my 20th year, which is crazy to think about. I started off there, got, you know, doing some random stuff, did some fill-in issues, and pretty quickly took over the Cable and Deadpool series in 2006. and was just on that series for a couple of years. And that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I mean, I love Deadpool, and they, over the years, Marvel's kept dragging me back to do more Deadpool for them. You know, through that, I met Fabian Nicieza, who I recently did a creator-owned book with called Outrage, that originally came through, you know, was online for through Webtoon. And we have a printed version through Rocket Ship. Yeah, you know, done a bunch of comics, worked on a lot of cool characters. And now I'm doing a bunch of books currently all at the same time, and it's kind of driving me nuts. But okay. I'm working on Forgotten Runes Wizard's Cult for Titan, and I'm doing some mini comics for Masters of the Universe right now, which is pretty exciting. Because for me, like, those were like the first comics I ever read as a kid in the 80s. So to actually be able to work on those is pretty cool. And then I'm doing Thunder Guardian as well with my son.
Okay. Well, since I'm a Batman guy, I got to ask about Batman 4.0. How did that come to be? Because if you're largely doing Deadpool and Marvel and stuff, how did you end up in a DC book?
Well, I mean, I've, you know, always been freelance, so I work for whatever company is, you know, returning my calls that month. I honestly am not sure how I got pulled onto Batman Fortnite, because I wasn't even working at DC at the time. I was working at Marvel, or no, I was working with Webtoon doing Outrage. Maybe I was doing a couple of things at Marvel. I don't know. But somehow I got on the radar of Katie Kubert, who was the editor, and the Epic Games guys, Donald Mustard, who created Fortnite. They liked my work and wanted to put me on the book. So, I mean, I think Donald Mustard is he's a huge Batman fan, and he seemed to be a big Deadpool fan too, because he mentioned Deadpool a lot while talking to him. So maybe he knew me from that. I'm not sure. Okay. But Christos Gage was the writer, and they brought me on board that. And it was my first time drawing Batman, like, you know, for a published DC book. So that was really exciting. And of course, you know, it was teaming up with Fortnite, which is one of the biggest video games of all time. Mm-hmm. And so that was really cool. Like, one of the things I'm always trying to do is, like, expand the, like, readership. And so when I saw that Fortnite was going to be part of this, I was like, you know, I've got younger cousins and they play Fortnite all the time. And so I was like, so really I was just thinking, oh, they're going to think I'm awesome if I'm working on Fortnite. But also I knew how big it was. And I was like, that's going to be a cool project to be part of. And I know Christos Gage is a good writer. So, we'd worked with each other in the past. So I was like, okay, this will be fun. And it was. And, you know, one of the things, like, I was a little hesitant at first, because sometimes these video game crossover, anytime you're crossing over with a different property that's not usually a comic book property, you have to be a little careful, because if the other company doesn't really know, like, how comics work and doesn't understand the game there, like, it can just be such a headache, and the amount of, you know, approvals you have to go through. And I was like, you know, I didn't know what it was going to, and then, so you have to go through this big headache. And then in the end, it's so, like, they can be really watered down. And, you know, you've seen the comics out there that are just like multimedia crossovers. And I think of them as just like merchandise comics, where it's not about the story or anything. It's just about getting some merchandise with, you know, both characters' logos on there. Mm-hmm. But when I was talking to them about this, Donald Mustard, first of all, was such a huge Batman fan that I was like, okay, I feel good about that. He understands comics and understands how this all works. But also, because he's the creator of Fortnite and was so heavily involved in the book, we didn't have to get approval from anyone. You know, he was the boss. And also, he's friends with Jim Lee. So it was like, you know, who was the boss of Batman, mm-hmm. right? So it was a funny situation that made working on, like, two of the biggest properties in the world feel like working on indie comics, you know? And so it was just, I don't know, a ton of fun. And I think it turned out awesome. We got a great creative team on there. Great story. The fans really reacted to it. I mean, Jesus, when that first came out, like, you know, I think the first issue went back to press like 5 or 6 times or something like that. It was bananas. So
it was bagged too. You had to rip open the bag in order to get to the comic.
Yes, that's right. Which was, you know, it's kind of a bummer because it doesn't, you know, people aren't able to flip through and check out my art to help sell it. But one of the things they did, which I thought was brilliant, was they actually like tried their best to bring the Fortnite video game players into the comic book stores, you know, which is something people have been saying for decades, right? Like, well, when a movie comes out, show the trailer and then like show, you know, like tell them to go to the comic store to buy the, you know, like get more. And they never do it. But this time they did, and it worked out great because in the comics, there were codes that you could put in the video game to get like free gear and characters and stuff in the games.
Yep.
So, yeah, so it had to be in the bag so that people didn't just like steal the codes and run off. But I mean, it was brilliant and it worked out perfectly. It was really, you know, awesome. I, you know, hopefully more people will do the similar things. And I don't know if, you know, you figure it was, I don't know. It was such a hit. I feel like everybody after Batman Fortnite should have just said, hey, what are they doing? Let's do exactly that. And I don't see it as much as I feel like I want to, but.
Well, it's whatever. Funny because at the store where I buy my books, and of course I'm a Batman guy, as I said, and I buy all the Batman stuff. And I had that in my stuff, and the lady who runs the shop said, are you sure you want that?
Huh.
I said, well, yeah. I said, well, I've got a lot of people who still want that. And if you don't want it, I can sell it to somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
I said, you realize that makes me want it all the more. I said, there's no way I'm giving up this book now. I said, so I ended up with it. Of course, I read the series. I enjoyed it. I think every issue you had to cut the bags open, if I remember correctly. So I was forever cutting the bags open. I was always scared I would miss with the scissors and hit the book.
Well, the bags were not, I don't know anything about making bags for comics, but I do know that these are the hardest to open that I've ever dealt with. Usually they like tear nicely right along the seam. And this one, it was like,
nope,
the grain of the plastic is going in the wrong direction. So, I don't know. But once you get it open, it was a lot of fun.
So you can't put them back in the bag then. Of course, everybody wants it. Of course, that made them collectible. They come in the bag and then you can't open the bag without ruining the collectibility. And so that's why she wanted
condition anymore.
Yeah, that's right. She wanted me to give it to her before I ripped open the bag. And I said, no, I'm sorry. you've just sold the book to me. I said, you just made me want it all the more. So.
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, so before we get on to Thunder Guardian, is there any chance for another one of those or what's the story?
Another Batman versus Fortnite?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to do it. I loved working on it. I mean, I think, you know, the fans seem to like it. I thought like working with Christos, he's a great writer. And I feel like we came up with a really great story, a great story that, even if you're not a Fortnite guy, if you don't know anything about it, just as a Batman fan, I felt like there was so much there between like Batman and Catwoman and their relationship that it's just a great Batman story, like on its own. So, which I think is just the perfect way to approach this type of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I'd be all for it. I don't know. I feel like if they were gonna do it, I would have heard about it by now. Like, there was a point where we were talking about it. I even drew an ad for like a sequel series and stuff, but it's been a few years. And I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, now I don't know. Like, I don't know the story. Like now, Epic Games has some partnership with Disney, which I don't know if that affects their DC thing. I mean, they're still independent, but I don't know. Like,
they probably want Spider-Man instead of Batman this time around.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I haven't heard anything about it and I haven't seen it. And I usually, you know, Batman comes out with a million other books Dark Guardian, Dark This, Dark That, and all this stuff. And so I haven't seen, you know, anything more about it. But hey, if it sold well, why not?
Yeah, you think it would be a no-brainer. But I mean, I don't know the whole story there. So
it's who knows what goes on. And gaming stuff is always an interesting thing. It, I don't know if it impacted the game sales or the game stuff. Who knows how many people, you know, turned in all that stuff and got the special stuff that the comic provided. You know, if enough people didn't do it, maybe they thought, it's not worth it.
Well, I mean, I don't, because I don't know. I know a little bit more than what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, it's okay.
I don't know all the details, but I know a little bit more. And I don't think that was the problem.
Okay, don't get in trouble on my tonight. I want you to be able, if they do decide to do it, and who knows when or if they'll ever do that, we still want your name to be in the hat. So we don't
Name of it. So I'd love to be part of that. Or just more Batman is fine too. Or more Gordon, whatever.
I thought your Batman was pretty good too, I do have to say. I'm a big Batman fan, and I have certain artists who I think do a really good job on, and you're one of the ones I think does a really good Batman. So I wouldn't mind if you did another Batman type of thing.
Thanks, man. Well, hey, write to the editors. Write to DC and say bring Riley back.
All right, let's get to the reason we're here. It's Thunder Guardian. I do have to ask because it's so interesting to me. I was familiar with Axe Cop, and I watched the cartoon of it and stuff like that, and I was interested. I think they were brothers, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if it was father or son. I think it was older brother, younger brother, but I could be mistaken. It's been a while. I was on Fox.
That's it. Yeah, it was an older brother, and then I think his father got remarried, and so he had like a younger brother he wanted to connect with.
Now, I got to ask, of course, on many of the pieces of artwork that I see, Will's name is ahead of your name.
Is it? I don't know if I paid attention to what name came first.
If I look now on the, if you go to Zoop.gg, tell people that too, they should know. Zoop.gg/C/Thunder Guardian, you'll go and see the page. Now, the first art that I see, first art has your name on the left, but oddly enough, it has your art. Well, that's right. And then it shows Will's art on the back. Finger Hut, was that guy?
There's a finger guy, shot, yes. Shot.
That's the guy, Finger Shot, and your finger shot and his finger shot.
Yes.
Is there. And so I see that. But then when you get down to the $10 thing, there's like a poster. And Will's name is to the left, and your name is to the right.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's the book cover.
That's the book cover. Okay, so that's good because I'm looking at it going like that's because these days a lot of times the artist goes first in the credits thing, and so I was intrigued that even the because if there's ever a time to have an artist name first, this is the one.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't. I don't know why. Don't know what I was thinking on that one, but in the newspaper strip, I usually put my name first. So I don't know why I switched it up on the cover, but that's not even necessarily the final cover. We'll see.
That'll change.
Yeah. It'll be whatever makes the most sense later. I don't know.
So I got to ask, because he's in third grade. How old is he now?
8 years old now.
8 years old. Okay. So he's been doing this for 2 years, according to what the stuff says. So let's see. He was 6 years old when he started doing it. He was in first grade?
Yep.
He started doing this. Wow. That's pretty creative for a kid.
Yeah. I think he might have even started drawing Thunder Guardian when he was in kindergarten. I'll have to look up the earlier drawings.
Wow.
But yeah, it was something that, it was just a fun thing. Like, he was coming home from school with these little drawings on the back of his worksheets and stuff. And I'd say, oh, who's this? And he'd tell me all about it. And he had these like crazy ideas. And I was just like, man, these stories are awesome. This is better than any script I'm getting from Marvel or DC. I want to draw this. And so me and him would just be drawing sometimes. And I'd draw my version of his characters and stuff. And then one day I was at a comic convention and I ran into these guys that were starting a new newspaper. It was going to be comics only. It was like a whole newspaper that's all comic strips, and it's called A Kid and a Comic. Mm-hmm. And, it only comes out once every 2 months. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, I've got this, this comic I've been wanting to do with my son. And like, this would be a great excuse. And, you know, it's not like too much extra work on top of the stuff I'm already doing. And, you know, I was like, so I sent them the idea and they were so into it that, yeah, so we've been doing that for the past 2 years, like actually having the comic strips printed in this newspaper. And then, you know, I was talking to Jordan over at Zoop and he, you know, he really wanted to do something with me. And at first we were talking about doing like a sketchbook or something. And but then I was like, you know what? Like, I'd love to put these Thunder Guardian strips into like a collection and, you know, like use them as a book. Like, would that be cool? And yeah, you know, so that led to this Thunder Guardian campaign.
Cool. Very cool. Well, as we said, you're more than double, as we're talking already, you're more than double what you were asking for. So that's what's a good place to be.
Sure.
And let's, and now see, it's been a couple of years. I don't know if you're going to, and I don't know if you want to spill on your son there, but who decided what? Who decided like the name and the I guess the looks was Will's? Did Will come up with the name? Did you come up with the name?
He came up with the name. That was when he made a bunch of characters and stuff when you know, as a kid, just drawn. And when I asked him about this guy, because I was like, oh, this guy, he's got like a blue mask and blue wing, or a blue face and blue wings. And I was like, that's cool. What's this guy named? He said Thunder Guardian. I said, that's a character, man. We could do something with that.
It's in the genes, sounds like.
Yeah. And so on the website here, you can see a bunch of like marker drawings that he did.
Right.
That's pretty much what he like, you know, if a character, he said, oh, and then we're gonna have another character, or usually he draws the character first, or maybe he'll build them out of Legos or something. And so then he'll give me one of those drawings and I'll turn it into I'll do my version and he'll tell me about him. So he'll be like, oh yeah, Thunder Guardian wears armor like Iron Man and has rocket boots and stuff like that.
And wings.
Right. And so I'll incorporate those ideas into my drawings. And and then he'll tell me the stories. Like I'll say, okay, what's tell me about this character, or you know, like what's the next adventure gonna be about, or what happens next, or whatever. And you know, I'll record what he says and I'll take down notes and figure out how to turn it into an actual coherent story, because I don't know when the last time you've talked to like an 8-year-old is, but when they tell a story, it's just bouncing all over the place. And,
of course, yeah.
You know, and then he'll like go back. I'll say, wait, tell me more about this one part. And then like in telling me about that, he like rewrites the entire thing. And, you know, so there's a lot of, there's an extensive editing process to turn it into the story that's, you know, somewhat readable. But I try to get the best bits and, you know, his best, most fun ideas. And like, if he has like a really funny turn of phrase, I'll try to put that in and stuff like that.
Well, like the boogers and stuff like that. That's an 8-year or a 6-year-old thing right there.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of boogers and germs and slime, various types of slime. it's pretty funny.
Really good. So so how often are you still doing it? And you're doing it in the other paper, right?
Yes.
So that comes out once every 2 months. How much do you do? I mean, do you do like a page, or how much do you actually put in there?
Well, you can see like the first few strips are up there as previews on the Zoop page. So it's pretty much on a newspaper, it's like half a newspaper page.
Okay.
Which is like for a comic, it's a little bit because of the, you know, a newspaper is bigger than a comic. I draw a little bit bigger than I would a regular comic book page. But that's pretty much it. And for the printed version, it works out well as just like, you know, turning the comic horizontal, or, you know, it'll be like it's just like a regular format, but just horizontal.
Oh, so it's turned the other way.
Right. So like,
okay.
Yeah. So you'll see the actual cover up here. And It's yeah, like you know, it's longer on the side than it is. It's longer wide than it is tall.
Okay, so you turn you because I've seen some comics that do that. They turn the book sideways,
right?
And that's when you look at. So that's how this is laid out like that too.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah, and you don't like it's actually it's still, you know, stapled on or bound or however we do it on the left hand side. It's not like you have to actually turn the book sideways, but it's just it's that horizontal format.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, so that'll be good. So I like those kinds of things, the different sizes and stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with the book Mouse Guard.
Oh, yeah, I love Mouse Guard.
It's the funniest thing in the world because, you know, it's there's so many stories that hate that because it's the wrong size to put on.
I know.
I talk
comic stores cannot stand a book that is not in a very specific shape and size.
That's the thing. And I said to him one time when I got to interview him, he was actually the first interview I ever did on the show. And I said to him, you know, what's the store reaction? Like, well, some of them don't really like it. And I said, well,
so Mouse Guard is square, right?
Yes. Yes. It's not the normal book size and stuff. And so there are many stories that just wouldn't carry it and stuff like that. I was like, boy, are they missing out. That,
I know.
Tremendous book. I really
it's such a slam dunk of a book, man.
It's just excellent and stuff. Now, I've got to ask you because this, who is Thunder Guardian? I mean, he's human apparently. Is that correct?
Yes, he's human, although he lives on Mars because this story takes place after the Earth has been destroyed.
Right.
And so Thunder Guardian and his friends they live on Mars, and pretty much what they do is they fly around outer space and try to find pieces of Earth and, you know, human society and culture and whatever, and collect them to try to rebuild human civilization. And we're still kind of working out if he's really rebuilding it on Mars or if he's actually putting the Earth back together like a puzzle. I'm not sure, but we'll figure that out when we get there. But that's basically what the story is about. And then his enemies, you know, the unknown is like the main enemy. And he's got a gang of characters. And then, you know, there's a bunch of other bad guys that we'll get to when, as the story goes.
So where does he get his powers from? Is it the armor?
We haven't told that story yet.
And I'm okay.
That's one of the things where, like, talking to Will, I'm not sure if the armor either, like, restrains his power so that he can control it. Otherwise, it would be too powerful and uncontrollable. Or the armor gives him the power. We've still got to, you know, nail that down.
I find it so interesting that the girl wears boxing gloves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's a 6-year-old for you.
Yeah.
You want to see something different. That's new and different.
Her name is Boxorp.
Of course.
She's a boxer. yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah, he's got just these so many goofy ideas. And, you know, Fingershot here is one of the bad guys. He's got, like, all his fingers have different gadgets on them, like grappling hooks and shrink rays and stuff like that. You got Electric Head, who's like made out of electricity, and there's Vinorp, who, you know, has vine powers, and he's a ninja, but also he has plant powers. So,
I'm kind of interested into, does he read comics, or is he reading your work, or how, where does he get this stuff from? I mean, he's just got a wild imagination, or how does he do that?
All of the above, man. He loves, you know, comics, superheroes, movies, cartoons, all that stuff. So he's always, you know, reading, watching more of that. You know, playing with his action figures. And it's just, you know, he just is super imaginative and inventive.
Wow. Well, it sounds like it runs in the family.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I mean, what does your wife think about all this?
Oh, she thinks it's fun. She thinks, you know, she loved Axe Cop. So she was really pushing us to, once Will started coming up with some cool ideas, she was really like gung ho about pushing us to actually do something.
Oh, wow. See, that's interesting. Cause often the moms aren't necessarily into comics like the guy.
Well, you know, when you're married to a comic artist, you're kind of stuck with it. So you might as well just lean into the curve.
So she's used to it by now. She's figured out this is kind of, well, especially since you're the, okay, maybe I shouldn't ask that question, but are you the, oh no, I am afraid to ask that. Are you the one, is your artwork the thing that supports the family? Maybe I should ask it that way.
I mean, to some extent, but my wife's a lawyer, so I mean.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's definitely supporting the starving artist lifestyle sometimes. But, I mean, you know, it's not like that, but.
Okay, well, that's.
But, yeah.
Well, that's, so it worked out. It balances out.
Yeah, listen. Not every year is a Batman versus Fortnite year, okay? That was
no.
that was probably the one year where I actually made more of the money than her. But
because I think like Scott Snyder, his wife is a high pro type of person, doctor or something like that, and so you know it kind of frees him up to do whatever he wants to do.
When it comes really, to is that I assumed his like Bat Mansion that he lives in is like. From all the Batman sales that he made.
I don't think so. I think
it's because he does pretty well from that, man.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think she minds him doing all, all that money in, but I think she's a professional of some sort. And I can't remember why.
I've never met his wife, so I don't know.
I haven't either, but I've interviewed him several times, stuff like that. Cause I'm I got to tell my Scott Snyder story at this point. I saw him in Baltimore Comic Con and I said to him, I said, I'm a big Batman fan. You got, he was just about to start New 52. I said, I've got to interview you for my podcast, which I'm starting now. He said, okay, yeah, we'll work it out. And so I started to talk with him and he started to say how insecure he was about how people, you know, all these orders were coming in and he was just so afraid he was going to disappoint all these people. And I said, what? I said, the reason why the orders are so high is we're anxious to read the stories you're going to tell. And, you know, I'd done all my research on him and stuff like that. And I found out that he had been exposed to horror through he was at a camp, a summer camp. And the guy at nighttime, of all things, before the kids would go to sleep, would read Stephen King to them. And I thought, boy, that's a crazy thing to do at a camp.
Yeah.
But that's how we got introduced.
Yeah.
That's how he got introduced to it all. And so. Nice. You know, all that kind of stuff. And of course, I'd done all my research and stuff. And because I tend to do positive stuff. I don't tend to be a bomber or anything like that. I don't throw grenades at people and stuff. So when I got done with it, he said to me, and when we got recording, he says, I'm really interested to see what you think of my books and stuff. I said, really? And he says, I'll give you my email address. Don't give it to anybody. But whenever you see a book that I've written with Batman in it, you send me an email and tell me what you thought. Oh, it's okay. Well, I can do that. That's not a problem. So I started emailing him. And of course, he rarely ever responded, you know, to me. Cause I said,
yeah.
I always told him, you know, don't respond. You're the creator guy. Make the books. That's the important thing. I saw him in Baltimore a couple of years later and he was there and he looked up and he saw me come. He says, there you are. And I said, you know, I'm having real trouble writing emails to you because I've run out of words to describe, you know, fantastic and wonderful and terrific. And he goes, so, you know,
did you really keep up for all those years?
I did.
Time? Oh, wow.
I did. And he says to me back, he says, you know, I'm not having trouble reading your emails. He goes to me. So I thought that was kind of good. You know, later on, I found out reading his stuff. And I think he talked about the fact that, you know, like a lot of creators do that he was struggling with some depression and stuff like that.
Huh.
And so here was, I'm there pumping him every time I saw it. I would say what I liked about it. This was great. And I think I was looking forward to that and stuff. And so all those kinds of things. And I didn't know that much later that was going on. He never mentioned that as part of what was going on, but I kind of hope that maybe what I was doing was sort of kind of gave him courage to keep going and doing all the wonderful stuff he was doing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as a comic creator, you spend a lot of time alone a lot of time. So it can get, you know, like, you know, a little depressing or lonely or whatever. But I mean, honestly, like the reaction of the fans is sometimes really what keeps you going, you know, especially if they're liking what you do. So I bet that your letters really did mean a lot to them.
I hope so. It's funny. I also am an editor, and my roommate was doing an indie comic, and I was editing his stuff. I would, you know, make sure his grammar was right and all that stuff. Yeah. And he used me as kind of a sounding board. And we were up in Virginia. We were going doing conventions for a while, and we were in this one store, and there's a lady there. It was Tuesday, and she's running around trying to get ready for Wednesday when the books were all going to come out. And Richard says to him, well, you know, I work at this company. The name of the book was called Stabbity Bunny, and the lady dropped the book she was holding on. She ran around the counter, flung her arms around him. That's my favorite comic. She goes, I love that book. And he was kind of like, oh. And I wish I had my camera in my hand at that time and had taken a picture.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Took a picture with her later. But you know, there was another time we were up at Heroes Con, and there was this guy comes up to, I'm sitting at the booth with him. You know, he's on the other side of the booth, Richard, and I'm sitting on this side. And the guy comes up and says, oh, I love this book. I got to tell you how much I really enjoy it. I said, see that guy down there? He's the creator. Tell him all this stuff. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
I have totally. To do a second. So he went down there, and for half an hour, he told him how much he loved the book.
That's great.
So those kinds of, but you're right. It's a solitary experience. And especially the thing is, you work on this for months at a time, maybe, and you get it out there, and then all of a sudden the reaction starts to come, and you're terrified everyone's gonna say, boy, did that suck.
I mean, well, sometimes that happens too.
Whatever. But the good news is that your son can always, you know, you can say, he did that to me. He put all those stories together.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, generally, right? When someone doesn't like you, you throw the writer under the bus. Right.
So. Go tell my 6-year-old that you don't like his comic. That'll happen. Yeah. So that's good. Now, one of the things I did want to mention, there's just a thing in here. There's in the book, there's going to be 18 pages of the original comic strip, 3 to 5 pages of a new story, 3 to 5 pages of a story where you write it, and Will draws it. That I got to see. And then there's 2 to 4 pages of character bios and stats, 2 to 4 pages of process stuff, like Will's sketches of characters and your interpretations. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Me. Yeah.
It's, I mean, really fun. So what's it going to be like when he draws it? That's going to be something interesting.
I mean, we're still working on that part, but I think it'll be fun. I've got to figure out, you know, just how to write the script for him, you know, like to kind of, I mean, you know, whatever, we'll see. I think that it's not going to be, you know, Jim Lee, but that's kind of the point, right?
Yeah. You know, I have to tell you, there was because I'm down in Florida, and we were going around these conventions, and there was a father and son, and the son would sit there drawing the entire convention, and people would come up and buy his drawings.
Yeah, that's cool.
I was like, okay. I said, how did this happen and stuff? And the guy said, well, he started drawing and people liked it. And so we started selling it. And I was like, okay.
That's all there is to it, man.
And it works out, you know, as long as he went. Because they didn't make any comics. He was just doing the drawings and stuff like that. But that your book reminded me of that. And I thought how interesting that is. And on the other hand, I met a guy down here in Florida. He was drawing his own comics. And that wasn't necessarily a good idea.
Oh, no.
And he was Xeroxing them, trying to sell them. And he wasn't selling a whole lot, which I really felt sorry for him. But, you know, I understand, you know, because when I was a kid, I used to draw too. But my thing was, I would always copy out of comics. I would never do them on my own. But see, I'm going to be interested to see what he does, because he's been now, the drawings that we see on the zoo page, these are how old, like 2 years old?
It depends. Some of them are pretty new, and some of them are like 2 years old. Like the one with Thunder Guardian fighting that big monster. That was the very first one. And that was like, that might even be 3 years old.
Wow. See, it's interesting to me because, you know, he uses markers, and you know who also used markers was Gil Kane.
Gil Kane
would draw with magic marker.
What?
You didn't know that? When he would draw,
when he was drawing Spider-Man?
I don't know if it was during that time, but later on, he got sick and tired of inking. And so what he would do is he would use a magic marker, a black magic marker, to draw so that he wouldn't have to ink.
That's interesting. I mean, I could see, like, there is something cool about the way they work, you know, like the tips are so spongy. like you really can do some cool effects by like, you know, pushing down hard and, you know, like
your son is doing it right.
The ink surely doesn't hold up all these years, right? Like if you look at his artwork, is it all like faded or turned red or something like that?
I don't think so. So I think that it looks,
I'm going to look some up right now.
I've seen it yet. Look up his stuff, but it's in the later years because as I read, he didn't want to, you know, of course, before he passed, he didn't like the inking so much, and so he would just use magic markers and
that stuff.
So your son is doing, he's following the grand tradition right there. Tell him he's following Gil Kane's footsteps right there. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I got to ask you, though, that now I'm looking at this. He's got, of course, blue is my favorite color, too, so I have to guess. Who's the guy with the red wings?
That is Thunder Guardian EXD. It's Thunder Guardian gets his power souped up at some point, and you know, it's like he levels up.
Oh, so he gets red.
Yes.
Red wings.
That'd Although also Will does not always use consistently the same colors when he draws the characters. Mm-hmm. So it might just be, you know, Thunder Guardian might just change like colors in between adventures. We'll see how that goes. But one of the things that when he first drew the character, like the red or the blue face and the blue wings really kind of like, I thought that just looked so cool together. So that was my favorite part of it.
Very good. Of course I'm a blue guy too. Blue's my color. So that's what attracted my attention to it. And I realized there was red. I thought maybe that was an anti Thunder Guardian or something.
I'm sure there'll be a character like that at some point, but
always this happens. That's the thing about comics. There's Space Ghost had Space Spectre, for heaven's sakes. And I was like, what? When did Space Ghost have an alter ego like that? Oh man. Or somebody else who was the opposite number. And I was just like, where did that come from? But on the other hand, it's fun to see the opposite number and what they do with the same kinds of things.
Yeah.
So I like those kinds of things. That leads me to ask, I mean, you guys have been doing this for how long now?
Pretty much for 2 years. Like that's kind of the, you know, how
is
long.
Is he going to reach, when he gets to teenage years, is he going to want to continue to do this? Because when we got, my brother got to be teenage and I got to be teenagers, I stopped buying comics while he kept doing it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I got back into it when I got to college and I was interested in some of the stories they were telling. So are you prepared if he suddenly one day says, I'm interested in cars or I'm interested in something else?
I think about that sometimes, and I don't know, like I kind of, the concept does have a bit of an expiration date on it, I suppose. Although I do think it might be funny if he's still into it when he's, you know, a tween and a teenager, like that might be funny if, you know, as his tastes change, how will the story change? Right. Like is all of a sudden he's going to get like, he's going to be real dark and see it real violent and stuff like that. Yeah. Or, you know, like the stuff the teenagers like.
Yeah.
Or maybe he'll just think like, oh, dad, that's so corny. Like we did that when I was in grade school.
That's right. I was a kid when I did that. That's past now.
Which is kind of why I'm like, okay, I got to do this now because
that's right.
You know, if we don't do it now, in a couple of years, he might not think it's as cute or as much fun or whatever. So
it reminds me, I was at a meeting and there was all these, there was a guy who I was gotten to be friends. I was singing in the choir and there was a guy next to me sitting there and all of a sudden his son comes up and plunks his head on the shoulder of the father. And I said, and he was a little embarrassed. I said, don't be embarrassed. I said, the day's going to come when you wish you would do that. So enjoy it while you can.
That's
kind of with your thing. It's enjoy it while he's interested in doing it. And hey, you know, Matt, he probably got some friends who are going, you make comic book? Oh, wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
When
the first newspaper thing came out, we did a signing at the local comic book store and his like friends came up and got like an autograph and stuff. And that was pretty fun.
Wow. Yeah. Hang on to that stuff. Don't lose that, whatever you can do, because boy, that's going to be something for that, especially this, the Thunder Guy. So once again, it's going to be in the middle of January, right around the 13th, I think is when this is going to come to pass. And like I said, you're already double your goal. So man, what's going to happen if you make like $10,000 or $12,000?
I mean, I, you know, if, well, you know, right now it's kind of like, it's just something I want to do. Like I said, I'm not betting the farm on this or anything. If it gets to the point where it's so successful, we're actually making real money, then, you know, you never know. Maybe I could dedicate more time to it. If it's like, oh, wow, this kind of just fun little story really has legs and really has some interest in it, then, you know, then we'll see. Maybe there's another publisher that wants to, you know, have a bigger print run or something. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Like that right now, that's just the stuff of dreams.
It's a now thing. Enjoy it now. That's the right thing about it. Don't worry about the future like that. Of course, the thing is, I'm just sort of curious as to how long you're doing it every other month in the publication. Maybe next year do Thunder Guardian 2?
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. See how much, with comics, a lot of times it's just a matter of how much time do we have to actually put it together. But if it does pretty well, if it's making $10,000, like you're talking about, then it's like, okay, I can, then maybe Thunder Guardian 2 will be something we could spend some time on.
As we're talking, you've got a pretty good number of days left, and you double your original goal when we're talking about $2,000. So there's a chance. There's a good chance,
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
That's something.
With luck on my side, And people spreading the word. Also, that's an important part. If people who listen to this, they think it sounds like fun, they can share it with their friends, spread it around on social media and stuff. That could definitely help.
See, I want to go into Target and see Thunder Guardian in with the Dog Man books and stuff.
I know, right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Wouldn't that be something? We'll come around and say, that's my book. I wrote that book.
Yeah.
That would be something. I hope in for nothing but good things as far as Thunder Guardian goes moving forward. You're already successful as far as the Zoop GG crowdfunding is going. So I just wish for you for more success, maybe a Cartoon Network or somebody's going to, because they got 24 hours of programming to fill.
I know.
They're going to look and say, hey, Thunder Guardian, that could work.
I mean, they're cool characters, right? Like, it'd be fun, get some action figures, get some merchandise. It could happen.
Hey,
Kevin Feige, you listening? If you're sick of those Marvel superheroes, let's get a Thunder Guardian up there on the screen.
I've seen worse things happen, so I would really like to see some good things happen out of Thunder Guardian. Really, really exceed even your expectations to do stuff, and just have you and your son have some wonderful times ahead of you, and keep doing some wonderful creative stuff. Yeah. Which leads me to ask: are there other projects you're working on right now that we should be aware of?
Yeah, I've got a few things. Like, my main project right now is I'm doing Forgotten Runes Wizard's Cult at Titan. And we have the collected edition of the first few issues is coming out at the end of this month. So I think it's actually like it's the 31st, a Wednesday. It might be coming out then. Maybe it's the 1st or the 31st. I don't know. But it's coming out around then. And it wouldn't be the first. That's New Year's Day. But anyway, the last week of the month, it's going to be.
My understanding is the Christmas is on a Wednesday and New Year's Day is on a Wednesday. So most stores are going to put them out on Thursdays.
Okay.
That's my understanding. So if it's the second, I think is when it's likely to come out.
Keep your eyes peeled for Forgotten Runes. I'm also working on some mini comics for the Masters of the Universe action figures, which is super exciting for me because those were the very first comics I ever read as a kid. The comics that came with the toys in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So being able to work on those now is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the figures that they're attached with have been announced yet. So I wish I could say what characters they'll be with, but I'm sure once they are announced, I'll be talking about it all over on Instagram and stuff. So, eyes peeled for that.
I've seen that there's a Turtles He-Man crossover.
Yes, Ninja Turtles, Turtles of Grayskull.
I looked at it and I went, "What? Where did that come from?" So, Maybe you'll do one of those. Maybe
Freddie Williams is working on those though, and he's like he's been wanting to do that project for years. So I don't know if he's going to let me sneak in, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That's good. So, if people want to follow you on social media, how do they do that?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Riley_Brown and Twitter or X or whatever. Same thing, Riley_Brown. And then I just started like Blue Sky, which is the new one, which it seems like people are actually using it a lot now. Like there was a real exodus from Twitter to Blue Sky recently of like a lot of artists and comic book people. But over there, I'm Riley Brown, you know, just Riley Brown, no space or anything. And I'm on Facebook too, which you just search for me there.
Oh, good, because that's my main thing is Facebook, but I'm older. And that's, oh, you're on Facebook. You're old. And what makes me laugh, though, is that Blue Sky, I joined Blue Sky when I had to get a request.
Yeah,
When me I too. First started but out.
No one was using it then, so I didn't use it very much.
Well, that was the thing. I have to say, I use every social media thing I can to promote my interviews and stuff like that. So I all of a sudden, I got deluges, all these what I thought were robots coming at me from Blue Sky. And I was going, what the? Where's all this stuff coming from? Then I realized I like to call it the X Exodus was going on. People were leaving X and going over to the Blue Sky. But there's still a lot of people on X. So I'm loath to give it up. Although I have to say, the guy that's in charge of Major Spoilers, which is where my podcast goes, he occasionally looks at X, but he said he's gone to where the skies are blue is how he put it.
whatever social media, like different, every social media has its own flavor. So whatever works best for you, I don't know.
Yeah. I do it to promote the podcast. So I'm not, I don't care about all the other stuff. If people want.
I'm the same way. It's like, you kind of have to be on everything. Some I just spend more time on than others.
Well, Riley, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. And I do have to say, Thunder Guardian, if you're going to go to zoop.gg/C as in cat, Thunder Guardian, and around January 13th, that's going to be the date to make sure you've got you put your pledge in by then. But I have a feeling it's going to be a nice big number before that time comes. But don't wait. What did you do? As soon as you get done listening to this podcast, be sure to get out there and support it, because we'll be very disappointed if you don't get out there. So Riley, it's been a pleasure to talk with you.
You too, man.
I can't wait to see all these things good in the future. When Thunder Guardian 2 comes around, we'll have to talk again and see what things have been developing since the last time that we talked.
Absolutely.
So much success, and I hope things happen that you never even dreamed of happening. I'd like to see that happen.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks a lot, man.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. May your next year be even better than this year. So until next time, keep reading your comics.